Welcome back, everybody, to the Triad of the Force podcast, a podcast from Puerto Rican friends coming together to do deep dives into Star Wars and other nerd-related media. These are our Bad Batch Fridays, where we talk about every episode of the third and final season of The Bad Batch. Today, focusing on episode 8, Bad Territory. We are also very excited about our guest today, Nada Mokhtari. Welcome to the Triad.
Welcome, welcome. The first and only Star Wars architect, or Star Architect, or world-renowned poster artist. Welcome to the channel, finally. Now we've been talking for a minute of having you over, and it's finally happened. Thank you finally. For joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's one of those interesting things, unlike a lot of other people that we've had on the podcast before that I have met at Star Wars Celebration. You and I did not cross paths at Star Wars Celebration London, despite our efforts to do so, but here we are online as if it were in the COVID days. So, you know, we're making
it better than nothing.
Yeah, one day it'll be fine. Yeah. I mean, we totally missed each other, so but then I missed a lot of people. No one recognized me, so
no.
Well, I think but that speaks volumes to the quality of your cosplay. Because you were
or the helmet, or maybe this like, seems like, you know, this seems the like intimidation. It was.
Yeah, I mean, this is almost kind of like a serendipitous thing, because I obviously, when I was late, we were laying down the schedules of who was going to be on what episode, and I was not expecting that today we were going to have you talk about Fennec Shand, which Fennec is Shand. Your cosplay character. Which
yeah, I even done the perfectly. Hair today for you guys.
So. Love it. Yes.
I was like, I had
Very
an hour.
Excited.
Excellent. So the stars aligned. The stars aligned for sure. And speaking of Star Wars Celebration London, today, again, serendipitously, we got everyone that has gone to Celebration got the email on their inbox about Star Wars Celebration Tokyo 2025, which, cool. It's like, we've finally been
We can't say we're going.
Yeah.
Well, I will
still
definitely
don't have the money for that.
I will definitely buy the 3-day pass, because I was surprised by how relatively cheap it was. I'm pretty sure that Lucasfilm is just like, well, everyone's gonna, you know, all the costs for traveling, hotels gonna probably kill everybody. So let's just like lower some prices a little bit. Surprisingly, it's only 3 days. I think that in the past it's always usually 4. So only 3 days in Tokyo, and it's $170 American dollars. For that, so I'm definitely buying the tickets, especially now that
That's
we also have
good.
Our resale system that I forgot the name of right now. So, and I've always wanted to go to Japan. So,
works out.
I've heard that there's cool architectural stuff over there.
I've heard
that there's right. a rich, yeah. rich. Allegedly, there's a rich history in Japan. Thanks to Star Wars, is when I've been hearing about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In other news, also the Acolyte trailer dropped, which broke Lucasfilm records for views for any digital thing that they have uploaded on YouTube, which awesome. We're going to do a deep dive on the Acolyte trailer in a later video, but I wanted to, you know, it's still fresh in our minds. We're all very excited. Now that I haven't talked to you yet about Acolyte, what are your feelings on that trailer? Did you get to watch the trailer at Celebration? And how did it feel to watch the new trailer now this week?
I mean, I didn't get to watch it at Celebration, which my friends did, because they got in for that panel. And I didn't even think much about Acolyte, to be honest. But the trailer blew my mind away. I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm so pumped. Like, and it kind of works with my thesis that I'm writing, which is all based on Star Wars and like the history of Star Wars and the past. So I'm going to put the Acolyte in it now.
Tell us a little more about your thesis and how that has come about, bringing, you know, architecture and Star Wars together and in a more professional way. Academic.
It's getting to the academic side. At the moment, it's a lot of fangirly side. but my tutor is really, really supportive. So we're just writing about how they used film locations in Andor in London. Mm-hmm. And then, well, that's how it started. And then now it's kind of looking into how we imagine the future and the history of imagining the future in architecture and in film, and how we always use like film locations, and then that kind of changes our relationship with these places. So like the Barbican, Brunswick, Canary Wharf, all these places in London that were used in Andor. They're kind of a part of a history that we're not in, but kind of ours at the same time because it's film. So it's going into that.
Well, definitely looking forward to when it's published so I can dig into it.
If it's published.
You can send me a PDF.
I'll send you it.
Thank you. It seems very like a very interesting topic and something that obviously I thought about in the past. So it's nice to see someone actually doing that. So I'm sure that there's definitely a lot of value. And Nani, I have been talking to you about the Acolyte trailer for almost a year now and hyping it up and talking about that final scene of everybody. Spoiler alert for like.
I love you, Goose, but you've been so annoying about this.
I know. I know.
Because I unfortunately didn't get a chance to go to Celebration. And the first thing he said is like, this is the trailer for the Acolyte. Yeah. And it was awesome.
It was.
Yeah. So I've been hearing this, you know, for a year. I wasn't expecting it to come out, you know, this week. So that was surprising. We were speculating that maybe it would come out for May the 4th or something like that. But it was so cool. And then when the announcement like came out, I knew I was going to be at work when it happened. And I work with a bunch of like grumpy defense attorneys. And they're just like, most of them are huge Star Wars fans. So it was huge for like in the lunch hour, turn off all the lights and in the conference room, just watch the trailer for the Acolyte.
Oh, that's so
and
cool.
And it was so much fun. And everybody's like, oh yeah, this one we're definitely looking forward to. So we'll definitely talk about the trailer later in depth. But I was already looking forward to it just because it's just set in such a different time and it has like all these dark undertones for it. The poster is insane. And now getting a glimpse of what it actually looks like and the fact that it seems to be more physical sets like they did with Andor, it just makes me even more hyped up about it. So I can't wait to see what the story of the show is actually going to be because we already know it's going to look amazing. So,
Nothing to add.
I've been
talking too much about that set Celebration. So we'll do a deeper dive into it, but you know, this is not the Acolyte trailer reaction video. This is the Bat Batch review hour or whatever the hell we're calling this show. We're not good at naming things. And today's episode, like I said, it was extremely serendipitous episode to have you on board with us to chat about it. So how have you been feeling about like the previous seasons of that Bat Batch? And has like, what's your hype right now for season 3, what we've gotten so far? Fennec Shand notwithstanding.
I mean, I like the Bad Batch. I love the Clone Wars. So the release of the Bad Batch was just epic. And even like when we were watching the Bad Batch, when I say we, I mean me and my siblings, because we still watch it from time to time together. Like the animation, the quality went up by a high level. And it's just like, even the story of Omega was really interesting to see. And I was just rewatching it, literally episode 8 right now with my brother. And we're like, I just love Crosshair's character development.
Oh, yeah.
So good. But yeah, I love the Bad Batch. Like, I always get excited for it.
Nani, what was your reaction to today's episode?
Okay, so this might get mixed reviews. I love Fennec Shand, but I think this has actually been my least favorite episode so far. and it wasn't Fennec Shand's fault.
Spicy takes. Dune Funds notwithstanding.
I'm so sorry.
Get the rifle.
No, I think there was something about the execution of the episode that made it feel a little bit more like the older, like, Sid missions, like, I do something for you, you do something for me kind of episode, which I, you know, was kind of over. Again, the animation's insane. It's so good to see Fennec being Fennec, you know, like trying not to randomly turn her into a good guy all of a sudden. I still love that there's like that element of probably backstabbiness that there's going on. But I will say that those scenes with Omega and Crosshair were some of my favorite ones so far. So I can't say it was a bad episode. I just think like with all the ones that we've had before, this is probably on the lower scale for me so far, but we'll see what happens going forward. I was also really freaking out about, is it Pabu, the planet?
Yeah.
As soon as they showed it, I thought, okay, this is it. This is the destruction of Pabu. We're starting with the beautiful planet. And I was like, yep, but this is it. This is the end. So I'm really happy that it is still standing so far. What about you, Goose? What did you think?
I'm going to opine last. I want, like, you had your spicy take. And not what did you, think? Do you concur or do you aggressively disagree?
Not aggressively.
Not aggressively.
Not yet. This sounds more like Fennec Shand as I keep talking. No, I think I quite enjoyed it, but I think it's because I love the character too much. So,
that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. So I thought that was really, I really liked the episode. I really like her character being this sneaky, fierce type of character. Like, she's very badass, and I like that they kept it that way and that she's not easy yeah. to get help yeah. from. And very bossy, which is so not me, but you know, just saying.
You can be if you want to be, though.
Yeah.
No one's saying you can't.
But yeah, I like that we got to see more of her. I just kind of wish she was, like, there was more action from her. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
I was like, I want her in action. I wanted more action from her instead of just telling Hunter and Wrecker what to do.
I mean, that's kind of a badass move, though, to have her be like, yeah. Hey, these boys.
You don't have any money,
yeah.
so.
Right. Yeah.
That was the best
boys
part
are
for
my
me.
Henchmen.
It's always good to see a strong woman telling boys what to do. It's like, yes, pick up.
Gotta get used to it.
Hey, that's not a problem. Although interestingly, I feel like this episode, I feel like Bad Batch doesn't have bad episodes. I feel that sometimes we may be, for lack of a better word, underwhelmed with an episode, because the others have been so strong. And I think that this episode, in my opinion, would have benefited if it had been like a double episode like we got for the premiere, or like a couple weeks ago, last week, we got like a double episode, because it felt too much like setup to me. And not to say that it was.
Especially with that little cliffhanger there at the end that you're like, what?
Hell yeah.
We'll get to that.
It's Snoke. She's calling Snoke.
New theory.
But I mean, definitely not on my top list of episodes of Bad Batch, unfortunately, but definitely a great episode because it gave us a landscape that we had never seen before in Star Wars, and that is a Vietnam War or Florida, whatever you want to call it, with a swamp, your hovercraft and giant praying mantis monster. I was just like, okay, this is cool. So nice to see. I don't know if it was like an intentional thing as well of having the whole swamp environment lit up orange, because you know Fennec Shand's colors also like the orange highlight, and it's like, is this like a nod to the theme of her character, or is this just like, I don't know, it's always sunset or sunrise in this swamp. But I feel like the aesthetics of the design of the episode were really good, and even in Pabu, I mean, we've seen Pabu and it's always great. And it's Greece always, but like that final scene, I don't know if it's the final scene, but the scene with Crosshair and Omega just looking out into the sunset and meditating, I was just like, again, one of those moments where just like your jaw drops, because it's just like, it's the animation, and we say it in every episode, but it's just somehow they always do something. It's just like, damn it, yes, every single time. It's always something new.
We have to talk about the animation
because great.
Wow.
Even the water in the swamp. Like when you went in for the mines, I was just like, that's really a good animation of water.
Yes.
So,
beautiful. And with the whole like space crocodiles or alligators, I don't know what the difference is. It was great. But again, my problem was that one, we reverted a little bit to the Mando season 1/Bat Batch season 1, parts of season 2, where it's just adventure of the week thing, where it's just like, they need to get something. They find the person that has the thing.
Yeah.
And they have to do something for the person to get the thing. And we didn't even get the thing. And obviously it's set up for the next episode. But it's still a thing that maybe it's because I'm a nerd and I'm too like in my own head about such things. But I'm just like, it's M counts. We had Jedi 5 years ago, maybe not even. It's like people are midichlorians a secret? Like, I still don't understand why M-count is a secret. I remember talking
about Husbando with that. It's like, did nobody know about midichlorians? Like, is this, like, why? And then the fact that they're turning it into this whole mystery when we as an audience know what it is, I think was not necessarily the best decision that you could make, because you're like, but we know. But everybody knows. Right. So maybe not the best, like, thing to make a mystery of. I don't know.
What do you think? What do you think, Nada? Do you think that the M count mystery is a good mystery so far?
I feel like it's just set up to finish the rest of the story in a way. Because sometimes I'm like, yeah, okay, you're leading up to Grogu. Okay, yeah, you're leading up to, you know, the sequels. So sometimes it does get like, I wouldn't say annoying, but it's just like, okay, but we all know what it is. So can we just get to the point? Although it is kind of interesting. I think my brother just mentioned, which I think he knows more lore than me for Star Wars, but about how they couldn't clone Jedis before, like that wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So it's interesting to see. I'm more like concerned of like where this is going as a finale, because I never theorize on how it's going to end usually. Because I always get upset about a show ending anyways. So,
especially I'm a good show.
I don't want to know. Yeah. But it's like this being the finale, or like, you know, the finale season, it was, yeah, I'm just really curious because I'm like, where's Ventress? Where's Cad Bane? Like, okay, finally we get Fennec now, but what else?
How do they actually fit into the story and where the story's headed? Yeah, I think. Especially because from the moment of the trailer, we knew that we were going to get a lot of older characters coming back. It's been really strange to like try and predict where in their story they're going to pop up, and we're getting it wrong every time. And then
not always. Sometimes.
I mean, this time it's right. No, I'm joking.
We have a good, relatively good success rate, I would say. Yeah. Maybe to 10%.
I'm trying to see how they all kind of come into the story of the Bad Batch as a whole, because we kind of already know maybe, or we have a better idea of how maybe like Rex and Wolf and they are gonna have to do with it, but worse, where does Fennec like really come in? Because with this one episode we're really like unsure yet, so I think that's why it would have benefited from maybe getting the second episode too, so we could get a little bit more context of
because I want more Fennec.
I want more Fennec,
and also where's Cody? Like, that's like my concern every week. I'm like, where's Cody? Last week was okay with where's Rex, but now I'm like, where is Cody?
I think we're kind of hybridizing our responsible speculation part with just the analysis of the episode, and that's fine, because with the minute you said Cody, the thing that popped into my mind was we're gonna get an Avengers Infinity War finale where it's just you know, it's gonna be Hunter or it's gonna be Hunter / Captain Rex being, you know, in front of, you know, Hemlock or Palpatine or someone about to lose, and all of a sudden she's like, on your left, and it's, you know, and it's Wolf and it's Hauser and it's Cody, it's like all the clones assembling to take down Mount Tantus, and it's gonna be really cliche but really, really awesome at the same time. And then Fennec shows up, and Asajj Ventress shows up, and, you know, everyone is just there to, and Luke Skywalker and Ahsoka and everybody.
Luke Skywalker again.
That's impossible. Never mind. He cannot. He's still a little baby. Never mind. Unless he can time travel, because he's a super Jedi, maybe. I don't know. But
somehow he... No, I'm not going to say it.
Yes,
I was going to be like, somehow he returned.
I see what you said.
Yep.
One
just
of the,
cringed at myself.
One of the best lines in all of Star Wars.
By one of our best men.
Oscar, they did you dirty in that movie. We're not going to talk about The Rise of Skywalker today.
My heart can only handle so much. That is a rabbit hole I do not want to go down right now. I'm in a happy place.
All I will say is that he had his best look in that movie. He had a little salt and pepper, you know, he had like the rolled up sleeves. I'm like, okay, the man's got style in this one. But, you know, they made it.
Lines, not so much, but style, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Lines, not so much.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm breaking your hearts here.
A little bit.
Let's move on.
It's been a couple of years, and it's just a movie. It's fine.
We need to get over it. Yeah, we do. We need to get over it.
Yes.
But, I mean, I think we were talking last week that like Hunter and especially Wrecker weren't getting a lot of time on screen, so it is good to like see them get a little bit more of the spotlight. Even though it was kind of them just, you know, getting rid of the underwater mines and stuff. I kind of wanted Wrecker to get a chance to blow things up more than, you know, to not get them.
I think that's character growth though. He always is external about the thing that he wants to do, and this time it had to be internal about like the restraint. So it makes sense for character growth for him to be not about detonating the thing, because the Bad Batch is always explosive and always has to deal with problems that way, and to finally be like, no, we have to pump the brakes and be analytical and like be able to like solve our problems internally, maybe diffuse the bomb instead of like explode it. So I think it actually makes sense for Wrecker to finally be like, hey, we're not gonna set things on fire, we're actually gonna be in water and just diffuse the bomb. So
look at that.
For I think Omega. It makes sense. For Sweet Omega, who, by the way, wins the award for most stylish person in the episode. Her little vest and cardigan or whatever you want to call it. The necklace.
Oh, yeah.
So cute. Aces.
And the hairstyle is doing so well for her. I love her new hairstyle. It's so good. But we also need to give her an award for mental health in Star Wars. It's crazy.
She's the first therapist.
I was so in love with the I know. We complain so much, like, people in Star Wars need therapy, like a lot of therapy. And then I love how this episode is so upfront about it. It's like, maybe your problem with your hand isn't physical. Maybe there's something else behind it. And it's like, oh, let's actually talk about mental health in Star Wars. It was like, look at this. It only took us how many decades?
40. I mean, four. Not 40 decades.
That'll
be 400 years. I'm not good at mental math.
It felt like 40.
It's just 1-0, right? Yeah. Okay.
And then for it to come from one of the youngest, you know, characters that we've had in Star Wars. And then I love the reference to Gungi and how it was like, this friend told me how to meditate. And it just made me think about Gungi, who I love so much. And it was really nice to get somebody as just like set in his ways as Crosshair to just have that conversation with her and be okay with just sitting and meditating and thinking about everything that has happened to him, because he has been through severe trauma. Mm-hmm. And this episode especially, it was so sad to see him recognize all the things that he missed while he was part of the Empire. Like, wait, you met who? And you did what? And how did this happen? And it's just, it's so sad for him to be like, wow, I missed so much just sticking to my ways. And it's kind of, it's nice for him to be illuminated that way, but it's also so heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah. And also he was like, I don't know if I'm stretching it here, but it was really interesting to see the parallel of them going on a mission with another sniper whilst this sniper is struggling. So it was just like the moment that Fennec was on the boat and, you know, being the lookout, then it just like switched to him trying to shoot again. I was just like, damn, what if he thinks he's being replaced? Like,
I didn't think about it that way, but it makes so much sense. And especially to see her like hitting all the targets and then him getting so close and Omega telling him like, oh, it's close. That's being close is not good enough for a sniper. And I see the episode in a new light now. That's why I love these conversations. Even episodes that you're not super excited about, you find little gems in them by talking to people that really like it. So thank you.
I mean, I love Crosshairs. I think I'm just like, I end up loving the characters that are like the grumpiest and just like most annoyed characters, because I'm like felt, but at the same time I'm too goofy for that. But like, yeah, Crosshair, Fennec, like they have like similar characters in a way where they're like no nonsense type of thing. But it's nice to see them kind of breaking, because even when she was like asking about Omega, like in my heart, I know this is too much, but I think that she cares for Omega in a way. So, it's just like, it's so cool to see the parallel.
Yeah. And I think she does care about Omega, especially because she tries so hard to play off the fact that, oh, she didn't escape me. I let her go. I mean, just her kind of going about it that way makes it seem like that she really did kind of cared for her, and it wasn't necessarily only about the bounty.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and it's kind of like seeing her pry for information was kind of similar to how she was trying to manipulate. Oh my god, I forgot his name. The bounty hunter wannabe Mandalorian.
Oh, Calican.
No, yes. Calican. No.
I forgot. I absolutely hate him.
I can't remember. So sorry.
Whatever. Well, I guess that says about the character.
That guy. And apparently the actor was also kind of whatever. That guy. He's dead. Okay. We don't need to worry about him.
But the way she was trying to like manipulate, you know, to get him to work for her, it was like the same thing again. Well, it didn't work later on, but you know, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's definitely like really cool to see those parallels, because one of the great things that this season is doing is kind of recontextualizing a character, right? Because in season one, Crosshair is just like the antagonist that betrayed his brothers, and he didn't get along with Omega. He wouldn't even say her name. And one of the first things that happened in the first episode is the first time that he says Omega's name. So to see him go through his journey, right, of understanding that the Empire is not the system that he thought it was, and feeling betrayed by the system that he thought he should be loyal to, and that he actually betrayed his family for nothing, is you know, really great to see in a show that was mostly very Hunter focused, which for me, you know how I feel about Hunter, he's just a poor man's Rex. So to finally see the show shift gears a little bit and be like, let's turn this into the Crosshair show, I'm just like all for it, because Crosshair's a complicated character who's seeking redemption, going through like processing his trauma and PTSD. And I think one of the most beautiful things is that he's doing it not only with a sibling, but like his little sister, who's technically his older sister, but we're not going to talk about the mechanics of clone aging here, because we are not clone scientists. We are not Kaminoans. But see someone that's technically emotionally younger than him be the one that kind of helps guide him through his healing. It's, you know, I think it's a really beautiful thing to see, especially like in an animated show that's supposed to be geared towards like, you know, a younger demographic, but can still give such a poignant, can still teach everyone a very poignant message. I think it's kind of it's a nice thing to see, especially for people that say that Star Wars is, you know, just turn your brain off and watch Star Wars, because Star Wars doesn't have anything to say. It's just pew-pews. And it's just like, no, there's a lot of depth into a lot of these things. You just kind of have to find it and appreciate it. Fennec, at the end of the episode, we think that she's going to give them the information on the M count. She reveals that actually it's someone else that has the information. She's going to go get him and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, plot twist, turns on the communication and appears to sell the Bad Batch out to undisclosed person. And I think it's very poignant to talk about this now, because both of you were talking about, does Fennec actually care for Omega? So let's start our responsible speculation with some inductive reasoning here. Nada, what do you think, based on season two and this episode, where do you think Fennec's mind is with Omega, and what do you think that her intentions are with that ominous message that she sent?
See, now I don't know what to think, because
with the framing,
the first thought was like, oh my god, it's Ventress. Mm-hmm. Like it would be so cool if they were like working together or something like that, or looking out for each other. But then now with Omega back in the picture, I was like, I actually don't know. Or I was gonna say, oh my god, my mind's slipping with names today. The Kaminoan that actually cared for Omega, but she's
Nalase.
She's stuck, isn't she? So there's no way. Yeah.
Well, she's the one that did the original contract, right? With
Fennec.
So
Because I think this is all a misdirect. You know, I think that
actually helping somehow and not really trying to backstab. It could be.
There was the point of her saying that
you have
that
more faith in her than I do, then.
See, that's what they're doing. She has, she has a heart of gold. Come on.
No, she wants gold.
She wants gold from bad guys, but she wants to help the good ones, you know? Because they made a point of having her say that she let Omega go and that her contract wasn't to kidnap her, it was to protect her, right? And that Nalase then canceled the contract because she would be safer with the Bad Batch. So she's already establishing that her contract wasn't about, you know, being nefarious like Cad Bane would have been. As we know, Cad Bane steals babies for the Empire or for Darth Sidious at the time.
So
during
lovely.
The Clone Wars. So that's why Cad Bane's my favorite, but whatever. We'll talk about that some other time. So I think you were right on the money with your first theory. I think that the person she is calling is, in fact, Asajj Ventress.
You think it's like, Asajj?
She's like, oh, well, because, yeah, she's connected through now. She knows the whole M count thing through the Empire. Yeah. She helped already someone that we, I don't know how much information Nala Se gave Fennec about Omega or M counts or anything, but she must know something. Fennec's a smart cookie. And then somehow connected through Asajj, because Asajj also was a bounty hunter. So she's like connecting dots and she's like, hey, you gotta go help out. Because if Asajj is also connected to Quinlan Vos, and Quinlan Vos is connected to the Path, because we know that from Obi-Wan Kenobi, then stands to reason, I think, that this is a misdirect. It's not selling the Bad Batch out. She's actually helping them out by getting Asajj Ventress to go help them destroy Mount Tantus in our Avengers Infinity War scenario.
Uh-huh.
So Heart of Gold, or Heart of Orange Gold, or whatever we want to call it. What do you think, Nani?
I'm not sure.
You didn't sell it good enough.
Did my best.
Let's see. Next episode.
The Harbinger.
Episode, yeah. And it's another standalone.
What does Harbinger mean? That's like, it's a good, that's good into the dictionary.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like maybe... Because then after that, for April 3rd, we have a double episode. So I would feel like maybe they would do the Asajj reveal in a double episode and not just leave it to a single one. I'm trying to think strategically here. So
Harbinger is a noun. It's a person or thing that announces or signals the approach of another.
So I think maybe we're going to get to the intermediary next time. I think there might be somebody in
between. Oh, no, don't do that to me. We can't have... Yep. We can't
I
have
think that's
a,
what it means.
We can't have middlemen to middlemen. Panic Shan's the middleman.
You said before another.
Middle person.
So, I don't know.
No.
It kind of sounded... I don't remember what the exact line was when she did the communication. What she said at the end. What exactly did she say? Do you remember?
If you count on my
she was
memory.
Saying, my God, something about clones wanting to know about the midichlorian counts.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said she'll send what she has on them.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, like, coordinates or whatever.
Yeah.
Clearly,
I'm on this.
Yeah.
Totally know how it works.
So yeah, so it does give the impression that she's, you know, selling them out, and whoever is hunting people with M counts, she just told them about it. But I don't think it's that either. But the whole fact that it's somebody that knows about the M count and clones and everything, I still really want to see Boba. So I say this every time.
Don't say that. I would not mentally be ready for Boba Fett to be in the Bad Batch.
I mean, but we know that Boba Fett has worked with Asajj Ventress in the past.
True. And I think it would be
so
poignant.
He hasn't worked with Fennec, has he?
No, but, you know.
Not until the Book of Boba,
because
what
Fennec
if
didn't,
they actually
Fennec
met somehow?
I mean, yes, technically.
When he was young.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
I don't know.
That's how they met.
I'm not selling it.
The thing is, I think
it's speculation. We don't actually know. We get these wrong most of the time, but it's.
But I love it.
Boba. The thing is, I think Boba has to happen. You can't have the Omega and not like bring in the Alpha for some
Alpha, yeah.
Some sort of, you know, thematic continuity there to kind of, you know, finish the story of clones. You kind of have to have the first one. So I think thematically it makes sense for him to arrive. I just don't think
It's the next episode.
It's the next episode.
Yeah.
I'm 80% sure, 85% sure. Okay, let's bring it back down to 80. That is Asajj Ventress, baby. We're gonna it's gonna happen.
I guess we'll just have to find out next week. There's nothing we can do about it right now.
They did a voice. Daniel Logan did the voice for one of the guys, right?
Yes.
I might have voiced another guy.
Yep.
So.
One that he's particularly known for having done in the past.
Yeah.
Because I think that's one of those, again, I think these are purposeful misdirects, because I remember when the trailer or the poster for Bad Batch Season 3 came out and like it was revealed that Omega had her little crossbow blaster, everyone's just like, oh, that's the same blaster that Boba Fett uses. Are they going to meet? And he's going to give her his blaster, blah, blah, blah. And then it turns out, no, it's Echo giving her the blaster. So it's just like, oh, okay. That theory goes down the wayside. But
too many clones, too many options.
Too many clones, too many options, too many theories.
Yeah.
And none of that is a bad thing.
No, as long as we don't take it personally, right? It's just about having fun.
As no one dies.
Oh no, I have my death.
I'm not ready for another heartbreak.
Which I'm really worried about, because you were talking about, you know, this is the Crosshair season. Last season was Hex season, basically, and then we lost him in the most horrible way.
I'm really scared that we lose him.
Yeah, if we lose Crosshair.
I need to fight someone. Dave Filoni.
If they kill off Crosshair...
They won't kill Crosshair. They'll kill Hunter. And I'll be fine with that.
We're such haters.
At the same time.
Well...
We've been friends for too long.
Well, you know, it's... He's just Rex with a face tattoo.
But he's a tracker.
Sure. Totally, you know, different. today's episode, he was tracking, and I'm just like, bro, you're just using binoculars. I can use binoculars.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like special sense he used to have that we saw when he was in the Clone Wars, that's kind of been ignored for a while now. So that whole tracker thing has been kind of...
Like, the whole tracker thing, I expect, like, Wolverine-style thing, you know? It's like, Wolverine's the tracker. He can smell stuff and, you know, like, I don't know, his... hairy forearms just, you know, stick up if there's danger or something.
Spidey senses.
Yeah.
This is a complete, like, crossover now.
But Hunter, no, he just uses binoculars. And, we can all do that.
I mean, speak for yourself. No, I'm joking. it is true, though. Like, I think with the Clone Wars, they seem to have, like, their powers or, like, their mutations a bit shown off more, and then now it's a bit slacky, but except for Wrecker, like, who always wants to demolish things,
except in this, not anymore.
Mood.
Now he builds, not tears down. You're an architect. Come on, building is so much better.
Than
blowing up.
Sure.
Okay, but moving forward, though, I did my preposterous theory of Avengers Infinity War at the end with, like, all the clones assembling to destroy Mount Tantus. That's obviously ridiculous. It's not going to happen, and I'll be shocked if it did. But going forward into the rest of the season, what do you expect or hope to see as we approach the end of the Bad Batch?
Death.
You don't see this ending well.
No, it never does. He's like, it's Filoni here.
Yep.
And this is like the PTSD that Omega needs to, like, help me with, because, like, Clone Wars, really heartbreaking. Rebels, Bad Batch, I expect the same. Trying to mentally prepare myself.
Do not bring in Rebels.
Ugh. Yeah.
I'm not over that years later. Not over it.
Yeah.
I've only watched it over COVID.
That was like the first time, sorry to go off on a little rant, but that was the first time that I felt like genuine grief over a fictional character. Like, with Clone Wars, but I was like, my brother watched Rebels before And then during the pandemic with the lockdown, we like rewatched Clone Wars and then Rebels. And I like it was leading up to Kanan's moment, let's say.
No.
And I knew when I was looking at him, I was like, you need to tell me now. Is something bad going to happen to him? Because I need a couple of nights to prepare mentally. But I cried myself to sleep over that episode. Like, it was that bad. So, like, every time we have, you know, Bad Batch, and it's like the season finale, I was like, no, I am not ready. So, yeah, I'm scared. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I don't know where everyone's fitting in now, but I am scared because the last season was hard enough.
Oh, yeah. And we know at least one of them is going to die.
Probably. Well, we don't know that. We're just speculating. Again,
Nada is with me on this one. It's Filoni. We know at least one of them is going to die.
It's going to be Omega sacrifices herself for the Batch.
I'm not okay with that either.
That's not going to happen. That was a very bad joke. Very bad.
We just start crying now.
Not funny. As me and Nada here are just like emotionally
emotional.
Worst case scenario, they part way so that the Empire can, you know, find all of them together. Like, oh, we have to go our separate ways. So,
who do you
like,
think?
Everybody. Except Everyone? Hunter, because I'm killing Hunter. I'm going to turn into an animated character and I will kill him from afar.
Like, if you're going to kill any of them, kill Hunter and then let the other ones have a happy ending. Yeah, but happy.
Okay. Well, I know. I want them to all be together in Paboo as a happy family. But
definitely not gonna happen.
They're gonna crystallize that planet, unfortunately. It's gonna go the way of Mandalore. But it'll be fine. I think it'll be a happy ending. Tech's gonna come back. Echo's gonna get a new robot arm where he can actually have, you know.
I'm still not over Tech either. I mean, when it happened, I was like, no, he survived that somehow. He's convalescing somewhere in my head. Like,
are you like doing the Delulu thing where everyone's like, yeah, no, he's okay.
He's okay.
He's just on a break.
He's on a very long break. He's on the break, if you know what I mean. The long nap.
The forever break.
The long sleep. Do not go gently into that long good night. Anyway, yeah, we can talk forever here about Bad Batch and speculate all day long, but we can't do that. It's late over there in the UK. It's getting late in Puerto Rico, and it's also technically getting late in Chicago as well. So we have to have, unfortunately, wrap up to like these fine proceedings. But before we wrap up, thank you so much for joining us again and for being so accommodating with your time join us to talk. I remember one of the first times that I was aware of you through the Twitter stratosphere was through your poster work. And I saw the wonderful poster you had done for Dune Part 1, which I absolutely had to get an artist proof of, and I do. So it's a very beautiful poster, and you've done many beautiful posters, Dune, but for Star Wars and other properties. So why don't you tell us a little bit about like what other projects you have going on? You talked about your thesis that you have going on in school. Obviously, you just also did a poster for Dune Part 2, which was featured on Empire Magazine, if I'm not mistaken. So what else have you got cooking there? What other things will you conquer the world with?
Can't say. So sorry. I can't. I genuinely cannot share what it is, but I think you guys would be excited to see it. I signed an NDA.
Oh, that's how you know it's real.
Yeah. And it's like it hasn't excited. Hit. Mm. I'm really bad with keeping secrets. So
then we won't ask.
But it is exciting. It's I think one of the most exciting projects I've been on. Obviously it's really hard to balance like with finishing a master's. But it's something I couldn't deny.
They know too. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. And also I think I'm very lucky, like with everything that's happened, like with the poster world, which is really it's just because I like Star Wars that I started posting Star Wars posters and then found the Star Wars fandom again and everything. So I'm really lucky, like there's a nice audience, let's say. And the people I work with are really nice. So Yeah, I'm so excited. I can't wait for it to come out because it's killing me. So.
Well,
we don't even know, and I'm already.
We don't even know, and we're very, very, very excited for you. So definitely, we'll be keeping an eye out for all the great things that are coming your way. Definitely continue wishing your continued success. Obviously, you also do your cosplaying, so you have your cosplaying Instagram account
that everyone should.
It's for fun, but they're good.
It's addictive. It's really, really financially addictive as well.
Yeah.
The things we do for the things we love.
Yeah, right? But yeah, are you guys going to cosplay anytime soon? Do I not know if you cosplay?
I barely cosplay as a person. I would,
but I don't know how to do the costumes, actually.
I buy half of them. I'm not...
I usually
rely on people to help me out, which is nice because I get to commission friends and stuff, and they teach me. But yeah, if I have a question for you guys, I know that it's getting late, but what character would you cosplay from Star Wars? Let's say, because then there's just too many.
That's.
I mean, hard. Personally, I think one of the things that have always turned me off to cosplaying is that no one in Star Wars wears glasses. So, like, I don't wear contact lenses, so I feel like wearing glasses kind of, like, makes me feel like I'm not a character. So, that's always kind of, like, a thing where I'm just like, this just ruins the thing. And I refuse to wear contact lenses because glasses are me. But that's a roundabout way of not answering your question. To answer your question, I think, honestly, like, the one character that I saw that I was just like, maybe that's the one, was Cobb Vanth.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Because I like that, because I've always been kind of skinny and scrawny, so nothing ever kind of like fits well on me. And then when I saw Cobb Vanth, and I'm just like, oh, the Boba Fett armor's a little too big on you. It's a little too big. Maybe I can pull it off. The costume doesn't look like it fits you. Maybe that's
He's
it.
Such a cool character anyways.
He is.
And also, like, cosplay is like, it's not about the perfection of it. Like, everyone just makes it work. I wear glasses as well, but I wear contacts most of the time. So,
yeah.
So, it's like, the struggle is real with that. But,
If I had any talent for it and I could handle a lot of makeup, which I don't like wearing makeup either, I would totally do, like, Mother Talson.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
And just, like...
That's a very involved one.
So cool.
I know. I would totally do that. I actively go around scaring children. Like, I would have so much
fun. I do that naturally. My Fennec Shan scared so many kids. I was so upset. I was like, you're supposed to love me. Why are you running away?
Why am I scaring you?
Why are they crying?
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, that means you're doing it right.
Yeah.
But you have the second sister. You have a Leia costume that I seen that you do as well. You have Fennec Shan, a Catwoman. What's next on the pipeline for you now?
The Witch King. It's so different.
The Witch King of Angmar, Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm going to be a really short one, but...
But so, mighty.
Sure, but...
That is what's so fun. It's always fun to play, like, one of the bad guys. So I would always, if I could, like...
It's really fun. It's just, like, any way to cause chaos is me. Like, even love with that. The Catwoman, the springy daggers and knives, it's just an excuse in the end. Yeah, that's my next one. Let's hope it works, because I usually, like, this whole cosplay thing is, like, it's more fun, I guess, when everyone in the group is on theme. Mm-hmm. So they're doing Lord of the Rings next. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And instead of Arwen, I was like, I need an armor. So I went for the Witch King.
Nice.
I love it. I think it was a great decision.
We'll see.
We will see, and we will confirm that it'll be amazing. So so now we have a couple of things to look forward to. We have obviously a super duper secret, super amazing product that you can't talk about, but we'll see, and it'll be amazing. And then your next super duper awesome Witch King of Angmar cosplay, which will also be incredible. So we'll keep a lookout for all of that. And for anyone who doesn't follow you, we will leave links down in the description below so they can find you on the socials and find, like, all the awesome things that you do, because it's really incredible work, and we're all here rooting for you and you know, cheering you on to finish that thesis so you can take over now the architecture world as you've taken
we'll
over
see,
some
we'll
of the
see.
Other other fine. Worlds. But thank you. Really thank fine. You so much.
No, thank you guys. And thank you for having me. And I'm here to support with whatever you guys do as well. So it doesn't sound as graceful, but you know.
No, it was so much fun having you over. We are Triad of the Force. Remember to like, subscribe, leave a comment. Let us know what you're thinking about The Bad Batch, Star Wars in general, nerddom in general. Just, we want some more, you know, comments. Make them spicy too. We don't have to like the things that we like. It's all in good fun. Nada, so grateful to have met you, to have us you on the show, to have this great conversation. I feel even better about this episode than I did when we started. Forever, Fennec Chan. And until next time, may the Force be with you. Bye.
May the Force be with you.